Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yahoo Sports Hockey Podcast. We are hanging out after game one of the Stanley Cup Final. Of course, the Colorado Avalanche were 4-3 winners in overtime over the Tampa Bay Lightning to take game one at Ball Arena. It was Andre Burakovsky who was the hero. He's seen some scratches in these playoffs, but he plays hero in game one with the overtime winner, what, a minute and a half into the bonus frame. Of course, it came on a brilliant feed from Valeri Nichushkin, who I think was the star of the game. He was tormenting Lightning defenders all night. He finished with more shots than anyone in the game. Not quite more shot attempts, but I think more meaningful looks, if you look at it, definitely led the game in individual expected goals. He was a force, and maybe we'll talk about him in a little bit. But I think most important than anything else is that this game, the game one victory for Colorado, set the groundwork for a series that could be befitting, finally, of a legitimate championship series in the NHL. Of course, the ones we've seen before are legitimate and have been great Stanley Cup finals. But this, for the first time, is like true best on best. And we know as hockey fans, we don't get true best on best very often, even though we should be getting that every 4 years guaranteed at the international level. But I digress. This is, for the first time in a long time, the two best teams, undoubtedly, and they look to be both at the top of their games. I think Colorado winning this game in the manner that they did sets up for what should be a long and memorable and awesome series. Like, just look at the last two seasons. Of course, they were played in half-empty buildings or fully empty buildings, in bubbles, but also, like, the matchups weren't great. Tampa beat the Dallas Stars, who, all due respect to Dallas Stars fans, they're not the most exciting team. And of course, the Montreal Canadiens, who probably didn't even deserve in a regular year to be in the playoffs, but got to the Stanley Cup final, and it wasn't that competitive. But this can be very, very competitive. And I think Colorado beating Tampa in game one sets up for it to be the most competitive. And, you know, it was Burakovsky who scored the winner. But as I mentioned, Nichushkin, I thought, was the hero for the Colorado Avalanche. I think the most dangerous any team looked at any point is when MacKinnon, Makar, and Nichushkin were on the ice together, three players as part of a five-man unit. I thought that was when Colorado was at its best, and it certainly showed in this game with Nichushkin being the difference in a lot of ways. And I think MacKinnon and Makar will probably have their time, and they were dominant at times in this game as well. But the player that stood out the most in a sea of superstars was Valeri Nichushkin, who is going to be hitting the open market very, very soon if he doesn't decide to sign with Colorado before that. And I cannot get Connor McDavid out of my mind when I think about Valeri Nichushkin. I think he would be the perfect winger. Speed, size, smarts, very good defensively. Why spend all that money on Evander Kane when you could give that same money to a guy like Valeri Nichushkin? I'm not convinced he doesn't deserve more on the open market, because I think he's one of the most underrated players in the game. And I guess he became a little bit more rated after his performance in game one. But aside from like the maybe emerging superstar that stood out among all the other superstars, was the rest of this game sort of followed, I think, what we might expect from the series script, which is the Avalanche pressing a lot and outshooting, not quite doubling, but close to doubling the Lightning in shots, and so many more shot attempts and forcing the Lightning to block a ton of shots. I mean, that's the stuff that I think we all expect. And the Lightning also hitting on the counterattack is something we expect. All their goals were sort of born out of that, at least it seems, based on the big moments with Nick Paul scoring his goal. Of course, the other moments that led to those, that them tying the game in the second period. It seems like it could be a lot of that counterattack. And certainly the Kucherov and Palat goal, which we'll talk about in a second. That's how the Lightning are at their most dangerous, hitting on the counterattack. And if there were sort of two surprises, it was how easily the Avalanche scored with their early chances and the chances that we expected them to get, with them being the more aggressive team and shot out of a cannon right away, with altitude being in their favor. Forget rest versus rust. Altitude is probably the biggest thing, and we probably should have been thinking about that and talking about that a little bit more. But they scored so easily on their attempts early on. But what was more surprising maybe was how easily that lead was given up, and especially that Kucherov moment, a harmless 2-on-2 where the best defensive pairing in hockey is given an opportunity to handle two immensely talented players, but not a situation that should be harmless in any way. But Kucherov makes Devon Toews look silly for maybe the first time I've seen all season. And of course, Palat beats Makar to the spot in the decisive moment where the goal goes in behind Darcy Kemper. So two things I think we'll probably look to clean up would be Vasilevsky early, and then the Avalanche, if they do get that lead, they do have to do a better job protecting it, even though they were able to pull out the win nonetheless. But Vasilevsky's problems, of course, giving up those early goals, it's been sort of a repeated pattern for him. His game ones have been problematic for the Tampa Bay Lightning. 37% of his total goals given up in these playoffs have come in the game ones versus Toronto and Florida and New York and now Colorado. 16 of the 43 goals he's given up in the entire playoffs. What is it? 7 games in the first round, 4, 11, 7 games in the third round, 18, 19. So 16 of his 43 and 19. So he's just given up more than 2 on average per game, but 16 of those goals have come in those game ones. So I'm not sure why that would happen. We know this is a goaltender who is really capable of getting up for the moments that matter. And I guess game ones matter the least, especially on the road, I guess, if you're a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who started each of their three series and now 4 series on the road. They've been playing from behind and that hasn't been an issue. But Vasilevsky, when he has to be great, is great. And I guess in these game ones, he hasn't had to be great. And we'll see if that bulletproof resolve of his does show once again. Key matchups. This wasn't like, you know, there's the first game's always a feeling out process, and we see what the coaches want to do and then we see how they adjust. But there wasn't much hard matching in the game. I think if Jared Bednar had it his way for Colorado, Cale Makar and Devon Toews would be out against that Kucherov line with Stamkos and Palat as much as possible. And despite that one moment where they looked foolish, they did an amazing job against that top line of Tampa Bay's. I think they only gave up 2 shots at 5-on-5, one of them being that Palat goal. So I think Makar and Toews can handle them. They just probably can't get complacent when they think they probably have those two bottled up, because we know that Kucherov and Palat can have that skill shine through despite what the situation may be. We did see the top line of Nathan MacKinnon, Nikushkin, and Gabriel Landeskog play a lot against Eric Cernak and Ryan McDonagh. That is probably by design on both sides. I mean, I don't think that the Colorado Avalanche would shy away from that, but clearly that's what John Cooper wanted from the Lightning side, was to get a shutdown pair out against the Colorado Avalanche's top line. But they did a pretty good job. I mean, Nathan MacKinnon was dominant throughout. I think the shot attempts were probably about 2-1 with MacKinnon's line against that Cernak unit. And there was one moment of the game where Nathan MacKinnon completely broke the ankles of Eric Cernak and had a great chance on Andrei Vasilevsky. But other than that, there wasn't much hard matching. We saw a lot of players see a lot of the opposition. And for that reason, I guess both coaches have a lot of data that they can take home with these 2 days off and see if they can create some advantages for their lineups. There was a player that struggled maybe Victor Hedman is it. I think he had a difficult time in this game. It didn't really matter who he was playing against. And I think it was probably pretty symptomatic that he was kind of caught out there on the winner from Burakovsky, where he just kind of got stuck in the mud. He was not great with his gaps. And it was Burakovsky who scored sort of right in front of him, with him kind of stuck out of position and not being able to get in front of those block shots. Speaking of block shots, one thing that did stand out for me when I was looking at the data after the game was, I mean, the shot attempts in favor of the Avalanche was pretty severe. And for that reason, I mean, they got a lot on Vasilevsky, but they also forced the Lightning to block a lot of shots. But the Avalanche blocked more shots than the Lightning did, despite that pretty serious advantage in shot attempts. So, you know, Darcy Kuemper only had to make 20 saves, of course, gave up 3 on 23 shots is not great, but the Colorado Avalanche blocked more shots than Kuemper had to make saves, which is probably important because there's a difference in the goaltending here. So if they can be as defensively responsible, the Avalanche, as the Lightning are, and they can have that advantage of shots and shot attempts and scoring a chances, that may be how they make up for the fact that they might not have the better goalie in this series. If they can be just as good from a shot blocking standpoint, that can go a long way in helping Darcy Kuemper make up for this perceived disadvantage, I guess we'll say. Other than that, Braden Point looked really, really good in his return. He wasn't available to the media because he was getting treatment. Hopefully that doesn't mean that he's going to be limited anyway moving forward in the series, and that's just something he's going to have to deal with throughout. We did not see Nazem Kadri or Andrew Cogliano, who are dealing with, I think, similar injuries. Kadri, I believe it's a broken thumb. I don't know if that's been confirmed yet, but he's dealing with a thumb issue, had to have surgery. Hopefully we see him in the series, but it didn't really matter from the middle six depth standpoint for Colorado. If there was one big, big advantage, it was the fact that their middle six kind of dominated whatever their matchup was versus the Lightning in this game. You know, that's one thing about the Avalanche, is that they are so deep and so uniform in their speed and their attack. And there really wasn't much of a let up, even though the memorable moments came from Nikushkin and MacKinnon and Makar. I mean, that pressure was always on the Avalanche, forcing them into those block shots, those tough saves from Vasilevsky, and eventually that breakthrough on the second line from Burakovsky. Another part of the series, which is great, is that the crowds look like they're going to be sensational. I said at the top there, yeah, that we missed so much from the last two series from the two teams that we're playing. But of course, we miss the atmosphere as well. Like, Montreal had very little fans. 2 years ago, we had no one in the bubble. But Colorado's crowd was awesome. Start to finish, they were cheering like their team didn't give up two goal leads in the game. They were awesome throughout. Of course, the Blink 182 sing-alongs, all that is great stuff. And Tampa's crowd is always good as well. So we have it all. We have the recipe here. We have two spectacular teams, the best in each conference, two spectacular crowd, two great atmospheres. This is all setting up to be an unbelievable series. And this is just an early look at what we've got, because I think this was the ideal game one, with the Colorado Avalanche taking it, testing the Lightning's resolve in game two, and maybe more critically if they lose game two and have to get back in the series with two games on home ice next week. But either way, I have a feeling this is going to go deep. This is going to be highly entertaining. We might not see seven goals in overtime in each game, but I think we're set up to be highly entertained in the 2022 Stanley Cup final. That's it for my breakdown in game one. We'll have more with game two, Julian McKenzie on Sunday, and I'm going to see if we break down each game, but we'll have all the written stuff. We'll have it all covered here at Yahoo Sports. The 2022 Stanley Cup final is worth covering in depth, and we are surely going to do that. That's it for the game one recap. We'll see you for game two.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.